I understand the meaning of open as just like an open door. It can open very easily without difficulty. Free is also the same. As a result of being free and open, the more you receive new ideas, it makes you want to give out more of your energy. That way, each helps the other. It is very useful, very necessary, especially these days. The grosser consciousness depends heavily on particles of matter. The subtler consciousness is more independent. It does not depend so much on the brain. In the Buddha state, the grosser mind completely disappears. Luminance, radiance, immanence, the three states of subtle mind, all of these disappear in the clear light, the innermost consciousness. The fully enlightened one said that all he can do is teach us the Dharma, the path to liberation from suffering. It is up to us to put it into practice. He washed his hands of that responsibility. Bodhicitta is the medicine which revives and gives life to every sentient being who even hears of it. When you engage in fulfilling the needs of others, your own needs are fulfilled as a byproduct. Such practices as bodhicitta automatically bring calmness at the time of death. The mind at the time of death is at a very critical period, and if you are able to leave a strong, positive impact at that time, then it will become a very powerful force in continuing a positive experience in the next life. If, in a competitive society, you are sincere and honest, in some circumstances people may take advantage of you. If you let someone do so, he or she will be engaging in an unsuitable action and accumulating bad karma that will harm the person in the future. Thus, it is permissible, with an altruistic motivation, to take counteraction in order to prevent the other person from having to undergo the effects of this wrong action. Three qualities enable people to understand the teachings: objectivity, which means an open mind; intelligence, which is the critical faculty to discern the real meaning by checking the teachings of Buddha; and interest and commitment, which means enthusiasm. A strong sense of separateness in the past has brought about competition and warring. But now we are more interdependent, so we need to communicate, hold dialogues, and compromise. It would be good to have a bullet that searches for and hits the real troublemaker, which is within us. Whenever Buddhism has taken root in a new land, there has always been a certain variation in the style in which it is observed. The Buddha himself taught differently according to the place, the occasion, and the situation of those who were listening to him. So, all of us have a great responsibility to take the essence of Buddhism and put it into practice in our own lives. Emptiness should be understood in the context of dependent arising, and it should evoke a sense of fullness of things created by causes and conditions. We shouldn't think that the self is something that is originally there and then eliminated in meditation. In fact, it is something that never existed in the first place. Natural environment sustains the life of all beings universally. Trees are referred to in accounts of the principal events of Buddha's life. His mother leaned against a tree for support as she gave birth to him. he attained enlightenment seated beneath a tree, and finally passed away as trees stood witness overhead. One of the things that meditation teaches us when we slowly descend into ourselves is that the sense of peace already exists in us. We all have a deep desire for it, even if it's often hidden, masked, thwarted. If we examine human nature carefully, it is good, well-disposed, helpful. And it seems to me that nowadays the spirit of harmony is increasing, that our desire to live together calmly is growing stronger and stronger. It's more and more widespread. All the problems that every individual meets with in everyday life, famine, unemployment, delinquency, insecurity, psychological deviancy, various epidemics, drugs, madness, despair, terrorism. All that is bound up with the widening gap between the people, which, needless to say, can also be found inside the rich countries. Our ancient experience confirms it at every instant. Everything is linked together. Everything is inseparable. Consequently, the gap has to be reduced. The differences in physiology, skin color, slanted eyes, etc., and culture that appear to separate people, it seems to me, only unify them all the more. The theories of cultural difference that the history of the world has seen are absurd and pernicious. They lead to nothing but bloody impasses. Today especially, when images from all over the earth are coming our way, our deep unity seems evident to me. Every new institution ought to take this as its point of departure, as its foundation. Cultivating inner discipline is a time-consuming process. Having expectations of immediate results is a sign of impatience. Ironically, what the modern man wants is the best, the fastest, the easiest, and, if possible, the cheapest way. People who fight with other human beings out of anger, hatred, and strong emotion, even if they gain victory over their enemies in battle, are not in reality true heroes. What they are doing is slaying corpses, because human beings, being transient, will die. Whether or not these enemies die in the battle is another question, but they will die at some point. So, in reality, they are slaying those already destined to die. The true hero is the one who gains victory over hatred and anger. Samsara, our conditioned existence in the perpetual cycle of habitual tendencies, and nirvana, genuine freedom from such an existence, are nothing but different manifestations of a basic continuum. So this continuity of consciousness is always present. This is the meaning of Tantra, or continuity. If a patient is a believer, terminal illness can be a stepping stone for personal growth by following one's beliefs. If one is a non-believer, then friends need to show a compassionate attitude as far as possible and share one's problems. The dying process begins with the dissolution of the elements within the body. It has 8 stages, beginning with the dissolution of the earth element, then the water, fire, and wind elements. This is followed by the experience of the next 4 stages, which are visions in terms of color, appearance of a white vision, increase of the red element, black near attainment, and the clear light of death. In meditation, a practitioner is eventually able to experience the dissolution processes. Nowadays, the world is becoming increasingly materialistic, and mankind is reaching toward the very zenith of external progress, driven by an insatiable desire for power and vast possessions. Yet by this vain striving for perfection in a world where everything is relative, they wander ever further away from inward peace and happiness of the mind. This we can all bear witness to, living as we do, plagued by unremitting anxiety in this dreadful epoch of mammoth weapons. It becomes more and more imperative that the life of the spirit be avowed as the only firm basis upon which to establish happiness and peace. The very purpose of religion is to control yourself, not to criticize others. Rather, we must criticize ourselves. How much am I doing about my anger, about my attachment, about my hatred, about my pride, my jealousy? These are the things which we must check in daily life. We know that to wage a nuclear war today would be a form of suicide, or that to pollute the air or the oceans in order to achieve some short-term benefit would be to destroy the very basis for our survival. As individuals and nations are becoming increasingly interdependent, we have no other choice than to develop what I call a sense of universal responsibility. Happiness is man's prerogative. He seeks it, and each man is equally entitled to his pursuits of happiness. No man seeks misery. Justice and equality belong to man's prerogatives too, but these should derive their practice from altruism and should not have been corroded by the stations of power and wealth. To build such an altruistic motivation, so that justice and equality may coexist, the creation of a staunch moral fabric for the social environment is a prerequisite.
Thank you.